Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Monday, November 24th, 2014, episode 10.29, the Week 12 Recap Show. I'm back for a quick show, folks. I'm still feeling a little under the weather, but I am back for you, but it will be a short show. I'm going to talk about some good football games this past weekend. I'd like to send my best to Eric Berry of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll tell you why. Johnny Football is making some news off the football field. That's not good. And the NFL must look at the playoff seeding. I'll tell you why. And OBJ gives new meaning to bend it like Beckham. Holy cow, what a catch. Let's get to it. Let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, people, wherever you are, thank you very much for listening. Wherever you are in this great world of ours, and however you're listening, either by downloading or streaming, I appreciate you for coming back. Listen, Week 12 is in the books. Two games on Monday night, they just finishing up. Those Jets are bad. They are bad. They look bad. They would have done everybody a huge favor, including the Buffalo Bills, had they just forfeited the game and not made anyone travel to Detroit. That was ugly. It was pathetic. It was horrible. Anyways, all I'm going to do is really take a look at the 15 games this week. Greg, the Bills fan, was the guest picker. He put his picks up against me. We only differed on one game. That one game was won by me, so that means I've increased my lead in the challenge game, and I have increased my lead in the overall total. I'll get to that in a minute, but first, I'd like to send my best, all my thoughts and prayers go out to Mike Brown's family and the good people of Ferguson. If you don't know by now, there has been a verdict in the trial of the police officer who shot and killed Mike Brown. I'm not going to get into it. It's a political thing. It's for a different time. If you want to talk to me about it offline, I'd be more than happy to, but won't talk about it here on the show. Other to say that I'm a little disappointed with the outcome. Also sending out my prayers to Eric Berry, cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs, going through a scary time right now. He's going to visit a lymphoma specialist. Eric Berry on the Thursday night football game this past week against the Oakland Raiders. During the game, he went to the sideline. He said that he was feeling a pain in his chest, and the Chiefs sent him to take some tests, and they took some blood work and an MRI and all this stuff. They found that the problem, or most likely what the problem is, that he has lymphoma. Berry was placed on the non-football injury list by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, released a statement. I won't read it here. You guys, I'm sure, can go find it online, but it's pretty scary. And we got to remember that football, after all, it's just a game. It's a job, and he's going to put that aside because he's going to have to get this taken care of. And we wish him the best. I certainly wish him the best. And other non-related news, Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel and his entourage of friends, pals, were apparently hanging out at a hotel complex at 2:36 Saturday morning, where it was reported that Johnny's friends apparently got into a scuffle. And it's a little concerning. You know, we still got to figure out what exactly happened. The Browns general manager, Ray Farmer, says that it's a little concerning about the incident, is the timing of it all. What the heck is he doing out at 2:36 in the morning? That's what I want to know on game week. Anyways, Johnny Football, obviously not happy that possibly that he has to wait his turn there in Cleveland. They found a way to win another game without him, with Hoyer at the helm. But this is not going to be good. This is certainly not going to be good as future, because if, in fact, the Browns keep Hoyer and they stick with Hoyer and they try to shop him around, teams might not be likely to, you know, bite the bullet and take on Manziel if he's going to be doing these kind of antics. So, come on, guy. Finally, Odell Beckham Jr., did you see that catch? If you didn't, go to YouTube and check it out. Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. Even though the Cowboys won the football game, Odell Beckham certainly made his presence known. He had a ridiculous catch against Brandon Carr, in which he was interfered with. He kind of bent his body in a matrix-like trance, reached back with one hand, pulled in the ball with one hand, and scored a touchdown. It was pretty incredible. I said, holy cow. I said, he gives new meaning to bend it like Beckham, because the way he bend his body to catch that football is pretty ridiculous. But the fact that he doesn't think it was all that great, he says, I hope it's not my greatest catch of all time, because I hope I can make more. So you got to like the kid. He was like, it's just, you know, he does this in practice all the time. There's video of him practicing making these one-handed catches. So he does this all the time. He didn't think it was all that spectacular. He thinks he'll make better catches. And, you know, if you remember, the New York Giants do already have a pretty great catch. Super Bowl, David Tyree sticking it on his helmet, beating the New England Patriots, who were right then at the time looking to go and be undefeated. So I think that was a pretty spectacular catch as well. Too bad they both were thrown by Eli Manning. All right. Let's get to it. That's it. I'm going to do an official rant, because I haven't had a rant or a rave in a while, but I'm going to go on one right now, and this is for the league. It is rant time. I want to know if the NFL is going to do something about how they seed teams in the playoffs. I understand that if you win the division, you get to go and participate and play in the playoffs. I got it. I hear you loud and clear. You win your division, you get to go to the playoffs. I'm okay with that. What I am not okay with is you win your division, even though you're so bad, you then get to host a really, really good team who won twice as many games as you. That should not be the case. And I'm even going a step further and thinking that maybe you don't even get to go into the playoffs if you're not at least 8-8. All right? If you're not at least 8-8, you don't go to the playoffs, regardless of you if you win your division or not. If you're 7-9 or 6-10, or there is a scenario, believe it or not, where a team in the NFC South could be a 5-win team. They could be 5-11 and win their division. And there is a scenario, and it's an unlikely scenario, but it is a scenario that is possible. Hear me out. The Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, and the Green Bay Packers all finish at 12-4. All right? That is a possible scenario where all of those teams would finish. I'm sorry, not the Philadelphia Eagles. The Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, the Detroit Lions, and the Green Bay Packers all finish at 12-4. All right? Now, the Green Bay Packers, to do that, to be 12-4, their one loss, they're already at 8-3, so their one loss would come to the Detroit Lions. The Lions would run the table. They'd finish 12-4. Means that they would beat the Packers twice. The Packers' one loss would be to those Lions. So the Lions would win the division because they'd have the tiebreaker over the Packers. Then the Packers, Cowboys, and 49ers all sitting at 12-4 The Cowboys and the 49ers would get in because they would have the wild card tiebreaker over the Green Bay Packers. So the Green Bay Packers at 12-4 would sit home. Meanwhile, the NFC South could send a team with a 5-11 record. How would you like it if you're Green Bay and you've won 12 games and you don't get to go to the playoffs? Meanwhile, Atlanta or New Orleans get to host a playoff game at 5-11. That's not going to be good. It's not going to be pretty. Now, that's a very unlikely scenario, but it can happen. But what's more likely to happen is that Atlanta or New Orleans is going to win the NFC South with a 6-10 record. Maybe 7-9, okay? I mean, they're both right now at this point. They're both at this point already have 7 losses. So to see that they lose 3 of their next 5 games isn't that unlikely of a scenario. They could be 6-10 and win the division. That would be just disgusting to have an 11-5 or 12-4 team not go to the playoffs. Meanwhile, a 6-10 team gets to host a playoff game. The league, if that happens, is going to have to take a look. They're going to sit down with their competition committee, do whatever it needs to happen so that that never happens again in the history of the NFL. That shouldn't happen. I can't even believe that I'm here talking about this scenario as a possibility. I mean, it's ugly. It is ugly. And to even come up with the scenario, because look, ESPN has this little NFL playoff machine where you could pick the winners for the whole rest of the season. And in doing so, there's a scenario where 5-11 Atlanta wins the South and hosts a playoff game, and 12-4 Green Bay sits at home and watches. How would you feel if you're a Packers fan? How would you feel if you're the Packers? And most importantly, how would you feel if you are the NFL and you are Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, who all he says is, oh, we want the integrity of this football game to be great, and we want it to be fantastic, and we want to put good product on the field, and that's why we want to eliminate some preseason games, because all we want you to do is see good football and a great product. Well, you know what? You're not going to give me good football and a great product if 12-4 team sits home during the playoffs and a 5-11 or 6-10 team gets to play. A team that lost half as many games as another team going home and sitting for the playoffs. Meanwhile, this other team gets to play. You have to do something about it, Commissioner. It's not going to be pretty if that happens. And trust me, the way the Saints looked this weekend and the Falcons, especially the Falcons, looked this weekend, it's going to happen. And that would not be justice for that 12-4 team or 11-5 team that has to go home. All right. Thank you for listening to my little rant. Let's get to the games. As I said, 15 games. Greg, the Bills fan, was the fan representative. We only differed on one game, so I'm going to talk about that one first, and then I'll just kind of quickly touch on the other games as I go on, through the week. That game was the challenge game, and it was the Cleveland Browns at Atlanta Falcons. The final, Cleveland 26, Atlanta 24. The Browns, which is the team that I picked, Atlanta, Greg went with the Falcons because they were at home. Look, I'm on the Browns bandwagon. I told you, look, I was off the Browns bandwagon at the beginning of the season. They're showing me that they could play football and they can do it. Look, even though Hoyer had a horrendous game, he threw some passes that he should have never thrown. He forced the ball to Josh Gordon, which, welcome back, Josh, 10 catches for 120 yards. Pretty good football day for him. I mean, Gordon keeps showing that
you can suspend him and he could sit, you know, 8-10 games and he could come back and pick up right where he left off. That was pretty amazing. My only problem is that Hoyer kept trying to force the ball to him, and a couple times in forcing the ball to him, he threw a couple interceptions. But at the end of the game, with 44 seconds left, three timeouts, they were able to march down the field, get in field goal range. Billy Cundiff kicks the field goal and wins the game 26-24 after they had let Atlanta come down the field and kick a field goal to take a 24-23 lead. Browns find a way to win the game, keeping them very much alive in the division. They sit at 7-4, tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are on a bye this week, also at 7-4. Half a game out of first place with the Cincinnati Bengals, 7-3-1. Oh, and by the way, guess who else is 7-4? The Baltimore Ravens. That means every team in that division is three games above 500. That's wicked crazy that everybody in the AFC North is three games above 500. That's some good football playing in the AFC North right now. But give it to the Cleveland Browns, and I'll give it to them because they allow me to do this.
I am the smartest man alive!
That's right. I am the smartest man alive and have now taken a two-game lead over the fans. In the challenge game. Now, for those of you who would like to check out the results of this challenge games, if you go to NFLRNR.com, that's NFLRANDR.com, on the right-hand side in the sidebar, you will see the Steven versus the fans. And it's going to be basically the picks for that week. Find the challenge game. There's a link that says challenge game. Click on it, and it'll give you a week-by-week synopsis of what has happened. Real quickly, I took a 0-2 start. I mean, the fans took a two-game lead to start the season. It looked pretty grim for me. And then in week three, the fans had taken the Rams to beat the Cowboys. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Well, early on, it was the Rams winning 21-0. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to go down 0-3. But fortunately, the Cowboys came back to win that football game. And then I went on a little run, won three games in a row, took a 3-2 lead. And then we kind of swapped games, went back and forth for a while until now. Got a two-game lead by winning the last two in a row. You fans are tough, but it's currently 7-5, and if you want to see the outcome of every single one of those games, see which teams I have taken to be the winners for me and the losers in some cases. Gosh, a few weeks back, I took the Jets to beat the Bills. What was I thinking in that one? That was not good. Did you see what the Bills did to the Jets this week? Whew. Ugly. And then, there was the one I should have won in London when the 49ers came back and won in overtime to beat the Saints. But as we're finding out about the New Orleans Saints, that's just not a very good football team. Anyways, check it out, NFLRNR.com. All the results of the challenge game are there. And if you have been a challenge game participant, you got to start wondering what's going to happen to you should you lose the challenge games. The season. I may have something up my sleeves. I just hope I don't come back. I'm talking so much smack that I don't lose. Anyways, there you go. Thank you very much, Greg. That was a valiant attempt. It was the only game we differed on. So from here on out, it'll be very easy. Thursday night football. The Kansas City Chiefs traveled to Oakland to face the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders were on 0-16 watch. They were looking pretty bad, but every once in a while, they find a way to get a win. That's exactly what happened this week. Oakland got a nice lead. Kansas City came back to take a 2017 lead late in the game, but they led the Raiders, marched down the field. They scored a touchdown when they needed it and got their first win of the season, 24-20, to beat the Chiefs. This is one of my two misses this week. I only missed two games this week. I was 13-2 for the week, so that's pretty good. But this was one of them. And come on, Can you blame me? I think there were a handful of people who picked the Raiders, but they just, you know, I just didn't think the Raiders had a chance. I mean, they had looked awful. And the Kansas City Chiefs had been playing really good football. Anyways, it happens. And like I said, sometimes even bad teams find a way to win. The Raiders certainly found a way to win this week. The Tennessee Titans traveled to Philadelphia to face the Philadelphia Eagles. And even though Mark Sanchez did everything in his power to try to keep the Tennessee Titans in the football game, throwing a couple picks, the Eagles were just too much for Tennessee. Tennessee is a bad football game. Is a bad football team right now. They lack leadership in the offensive side of the ball. 43-24 beatdown of the Titans. I had the Eagles to win, as did Greg. It was no surprise there. Tennessee is just, they're just playing to play out the season. They sit at the bottom of their division. Actually, they're not at the bottom. They're 2-9. The bottom of their division is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 1-10. So, not at the bottom, but pretty much at the bottom at 2-9. The Detroit Lions traveled to New England to face the Patriots. We both had the Patriots. And for a while, it looked like maybe this defense was going to put some pressure on Tom Brady, get after the Patriots. But no way. The Lions offense just had nothing. They could do nothing. They looked really bad. So you have to start giving a question here to the New England Patriots. Have they returned back to the Empire ways of the domination on the offensive side of the ball, dominating on the defensive side of the ball? Because they just stifled Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford looked lost. He looked like he did not know what to do out there. 34-9, the final score. Patriots win. And Katie, how you doing? You're on, girl. I will take it. I will take it. You know what we're talking about. We are on, and I will see you at the end of the season. Okay. The Green Bay Packers traveled to Minnesota to face the Vikings. This was a little scary for Green Bay. Now, they did win the game 24-21, but they let Minnesota hang around. They couldn't put him away. They got after Aaron Rodgers. Teddy Bridgewater made some brilliant passes in this football game. Minnesota Vikings aren't terrible. They're not terrible. So they were able to hang in. The Packers showed them, you know, they're vulnerable. You know, they've been like rolling. When they're at home, they're rolling past people. On the road, not so much. They still got the win, 24-21. But you have to watch out if the Green Bay Packers have to travel somewhere. The Jacksonville Jaguars go to Indy to face the Colts. And this was a 6-3 game at half. But by the end of the game, the Colts took control. 23-3 was the final. The Jacksonville Jaguars are really struggling, man. They're just, they need an identity. I'm not sure what identity is that they're looking for. But they need an identity, and I hope they find one soon because I really like those guys. I really like a lot of the players in that front office. They just need some time to grow. 23-3 to final. T.Y. Hilton with a big game. Dedicated, of course, to his newborn daughter. Did his little rockabye baby there when he scored a touchdown with the football. That was quite nice. And my daughter, Emma, thought that was just the best touchdown dance she had ever seen. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals traveled to Houston to face the Texans. 22-13 win for Cincinnati. I don't know what to make of this team anymore. The Cincinnati Bengals are becoming the classic Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde football team. One week, they're really, really good. The next week, they're god-awful bad. And that is what the Cincinnati Bengals are. This week, they came out. They were really, really good. They stifled the Houston Texans and Ryan Mallett. Mallett actually suffered a torn pectoral muscle. He's probably out for the rest of the year now in that game. So the Texans have to go back to Fitzpatrick. But the Bengals find a way to get it done. They went on the road, and they keep their half-game lead in the AFC North. And it is a wafer thin wafer-thin lead that they have there. So good on them to get that win. It was very, very, very much needed. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveled to Chicago to face the Bears, and it was the return of Lovey returned back to Chicago, and for a while there, it looked like he was going to get it done. They actually had a 10-0 lead. They looked pretty good. Defense was solid, but they forgot to come out in the second half. Plus, the Bears had an awful first half of football, but they made some adjustments, and they got it done 21-13 to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Arizona Cardinals, best record in the league, went up to Seattle to face the Seattle Seahawks. And unfortunately, this might be the beginning of the slide for the Arizona Cardinals. They could get no offense, mustered nothing. 3 points, 19-3 was the final there. Seattle's defense looked like they stepped it up a notch. Arizona looked pretty bad offensively. Drew Stanton looked lost, threw some picks that it's like, man, you really going to make those throws? And that this could be the game that kind of causes a lot of questions to come for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see how they bounce back from this game. 19-3 there. I had Seattle there in that one as well. What other game did I miss? I'm sorry. I think I missed the game. Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals-Houston game. We had the Texans. I thought Houston at home, playing some pretty good football, will take care of Cincinnati. Not the case. So that was my second loss. All the rest I got right. We had the Seahawks holding serve at home, but they did 19-3. Then the St. Louis Rams traveled to San Diego to face the San Diego Chargers. 24-27 was the final there. The Chargers get a much-needed win to take advantage from the Chiefs' loss. But you got to question the Chargers, man. They just let the St. Louis Rams get in it. And the Rams actually marched down the field late in the game. They were actually in field goal range. They were certainly in range to tie the football game. But instead, Sean Hill throws an ill-advised pass in the middle of the field, gets intercepted, and the Chargers hold on for a 27-24 win. So instead of the Rams getting a tie, get a chippy field goal, tying the game and going to overtime, that pick cost them the game and they get the loss. Feel bad for the Rams because they're still playing really, really hard football. For a team that doesn't have very many wins, I believe the Rams are only 4-7. They only have 4 wins. They show up to play hard every single week. So they've got that going for them. Final score, 27-24. Chargers with the win. All right, finally, the Washington Redskins traveled to San Francisco to face the San Francisco 49ers. And you gotta wonder what's going on in San Francisco. Yeah, they got the win, 17-13. But back-to-back weeks now, they've played NFC East opponents that have given them turnovers like crazy. A couple weeks ago, Eli Manning, I had something like 5 turnovers in the game. He threw 5 interceptions. In this game, RG3, you know, turned into a turnover machine as well. He didn't have a really good game. It was pretty bad performance. He didn't throw any interceptions, but he fumbled the ball, and there were a couple other turnovers in the game. It's just not good. I think he only completed 11 passes in the game for 106 yards. RG3 just does not look like the guy that started for the Washington Redskins his first season. Pretty bad there. But the final, 17-13, at the end of the game, the 49ers found a way to score a touchdown to win the game. They got it done, but they're just not winning convincingly, especially when the opposition is giving them the ball so freely. I mean, really, they're just, causing turnovers, but they're not capitalizing on them, if you will. And that is eventually going to start to haunt them when they play really good football teams. Finally, the Miami Dolphins showed that they are a team to be reckoned with in the AFC. They went up to Denver and played one heck of a game. They let the game get away from them in the end. Denver scored 39 points. 22 of those points were scored in the fourth quarter. But Miami held its own 39-36. Ryan Tannehill playing some really good football right now. But the Denver Broncos, much-needed win at home. It was one where it's like, man, their offense can't be struggling like that. And it did. It struggled for the first half, but they turned it on late. And like I said, 22 points in the fourth quarter to get the 39-36 victory. Sunday Night Football, where the Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants in New York 31-28. The Giants led for most of this game, but the Dallas Cowboys, hey, this was a game that the Dallas Cowboys in the past, the last couple of years, they would have lost this football game. But Tony Romo, in the end, you know, trailing 28-24, puts the team on his back, marches them down the field, throws a touchdown pass to Dez Bryant there at the end to make it 31-28 final there. And give the Cowboys a win, a much-needed win. The Eagles had won earlier in the day, so they needed to keep pace, and they got the win. I think now that's the fifth straight victory over the Giants, possibly. I'll have to check those, but I think they've now swept them this year. They swept them last year, and I think they won their last meeting 2 years ago. So five in a row over the Giants is pretty good. Odell Beckham Jr. catch, I already talked about. That was phenomenal. But I'll tell you what, the Dallas Cowboys continue to play good football even when they're down. They were down early in this game. They were actually even down 21-10 at one point. They kept chipping away. They kept running with DeMarco Murray, who once again rushed for 100 yards. That's his 10th 100-yard rushing performance in 11 games. So pretty spectacular. And a 31-28 sets up now an 8-3 Cowboys versus 8-3 Eagles game on Thanksgiving. That's going to be an amazing football game. All right, we'll end with Monday Night Football, where we had a doubleheader, the Jets playing at the Bills via Detroit. The Buffalo Bills couldn't play at Ralph Wilson Stadium because of all the snow. The Jets should have just saved everyone a whole lot of trouble and forfeited the game. 38-3 blowout Buffalo. You know, for everybody who's like, well, the Bills, it's not fair. They got to travel for a home game, and they didn't even get to practice. They didn't have to practice. And the Jets, you know, they've been practicing all along. They've had a bye week, and they've had, like, an extra week to prepare. Oh, my God, it was awful. 38-3 beatdown. Mike Vick didn't look good. He actually got replaced by Geno Smith in this game, who promptly didn't look good. Jets are bad, and I hate to say it, as much as I like the guy, Rex Ryan will probably be out of the job at the end of the season. There you go. Once again, 38-3. Greg, the Bills fan, of course, had the Bills, and so did I. And the true Monday Night Football game, the Baltimore Ravens at New Orleans Saints, we both had Baltimore. The Ravens get the win, 34-27. This is the third straight loss at home for the New Orleans Saints. Let me say that again. In the Superdome, in New Orleans, where it's loud and crazy, and the New Orleans Saints always play really, really good football. They have now lost. This week, they lost to Baltimore. The week before, they lost to Cincinnati. And the week before that, they lost to the San Francisco 49ers. This was supposed to be where they got their home wins and kind of moved away in the NFC South. Instead, they're right back down there in the bottom with everybody else as they've lost 27-24 to San Francisco in overtime, 27-10 to Cincinnati, and now 34-27 at the hands of the Ravens. Three straight home losses. And you remember just 5 weeks ago, they thrashed Green Bay and New Orleans 44-23. How did that even happen? Because the Saints team that I see right now, it's not good. Not good. And I once again, folks, I don't want to harp on this because I know I've already ranted on it. But that means that right now the 4-7 Atlanta Falcons, who have a net point margin of minus 19, lead the NFC South. Oh, that's just awful. And that's all we've got this week, folks. I'm playing hurt. You could tell it in my voice. But I got to go now and get a few hours of sleep before I go do TV for Sky Sports News and try to make sense of this crazy, crazy league that we love called the NFL. 4-7 Atlanta lead their division. Ay, caramba. I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks for listening. I'm out.